Good evening. As you all know, I'm Josh. I don't even know where to begin. Let's see.
At the beginning.
Place to start.
Well, I was raised up in a little town south of Huntington, a little town called Mount Etna. Don't know if you all heard of it. Probably not. It's a little farm community. We was just out there raising pigs and cutting corn, you know. And I slowly started getting involved in trapping, hunting, involved with the older people, and they liked to party. And so I thought that was a cool thing to do and started partying. Started drinking alcohol probably 13, 14 years old. That led into smoking weed and then harder drugs. And anyway, 20 years later, here I am, clean and sober. about a year ago, about a year ago, I lay dead in this dude's driveway. Quit. Anyway, 3 days later, Saturday night, he invites me to church. The man's never told me no about anything. That day, I accepted Jesus. Then he told me about a place called the Indiana Dream Center. Then I met this knucklehead. got accepted into the Dream Center. Back to ODing. When I OD'd, they found 38 pills in my pocket. Went, talked to the police. They didn't really lead me one way or the other whether I was going to jail or not. Anyway, I decided that I needed to change my ways, so I signed up for this program and got accepted. Like Donnie was telling you, about 3 months into it, they popped a warrant. I'm like, I'm out. I'm like, I am not waiting here for the police to come. I am out of here. Like, all I wanted to do was spend Christmas with my kids. It was almost like 2.5 years, 3 years since I spent Christmas with my kids. And that's all I wanted. He made a couple phone calls. We sent a couple prayers up, and they called back, and they're like, we're not coming to look for him. Just turn himself in on Christmas or the day after Christmas or something. So I turn myself in. I go to court. The judge reads my charges, sets a bond, doesn't really give me much time to speak, but I go back to the cell, and later on that evening, my probation officer came. She's like, you're doing so great. Why didn't you tell the judge you was in the Dream Center and ask for an OR? I'm like, yeah, right. Like, I've never been OR'd in my life, but hey, what's a shot? And so I fill out this little paperwork, you know, and courthouse was closed. Here they come. Bam. They call me out there. This knucklehead. There to meet me. Wow. So they let me out on my own recognizance. And I go to court and I was just going to plead guilty and get it over with, but I didn't want sentencing to happen right away. I wanted to show the courts that, you know, I had a change of heart and really wanted to do the right thing. And so then the prosecutor got a little upset at me because she thought I was going to recant my guilty plea, and that ain't even what I was trying to do. But it was probably a month and a half, 2 months later, parole picks up the warrant because I go to jail. Any of y'all been on a parole violation, you know you got to go back to the prison, see the parole board, and get your sanction. Well, I meet with my parole officer, and I talk to him for about an hour. And I used to be scared to go in, and maybe they'll drug test me, maybe they won't, whatever. But I started building a relationship with him, and he's seen a difference in me. So he wrote the parole board and suggested that they let me out, and it took him a couple weeks, but they come at midnight, open the door, and they're like, pack your stuff, you're leaving. I'm like, where am I going? I don't know, you're leaving. I'm like, is there an officer out here, or am I going home? Like, nah, you're going home. Wow. Oh, praise God. So I go back to the Dream Center, and but while being at the Dream Center, you know, at first it was a program, and you know, we all try to, I don't know, fake the program or just do the program for whatever the reason is. And you know, I started reading the Bible a lot, and it started changing the way I thought, the way I feel, the way, just what goes in is going to come out. It doesn't matter the music you listen to, the movies you watch, video games you play, whatever it is, that's going to come out. Well, it's changed my life. Like, I never thought that reading a book, I don't even understand half of it, but the half I do understand really changed my life. I completed some drug and alcohol classes at whatever they're called, IOP or whatever. Let me see. As I walk this out, like, my family, I don't really notice the change. I'm starting to notice it more prominent now. But, like, people around me, it's just like, oh, you're totally different. You're totally different. I'm like, I don't see it. Like, it's just slow changing. And So I got my daughter to come to church. She accepted Christ. My oldest one, she knew Jesus. She tried to get me on track years ago. I just wasn't ready. They started coming to church. I've seen my dad in church. I haven't seen my dad in church in 30-plus years, you know. It's like, wow, this is cool. And then I started mending relationships back with family members that I stole from, broke into their house. It's crazy, but God is he's a restorer. What else? Oh, I get to serve with this knucklehead at Misfits. He allows us to go up there and help serve the homeless, and we have a really good time doing that. I also serve at our church. I serve out in the parking lot, and our church isn't really a normal church. It's a bunch of broken people that have a life with Jesus. And they're just joyful. And I get to be the smiling face they see when they pull in the parking lot. I don't know if that's good for them or not, but hey. It sure is good for me. But humbling myself and serving the Lord has taught me so much that I don't have no choice but to go forward. This ain't of my own doing. Everything I did under my understanding, I screwed it up. My driver's license, I got a 2027 reinstatement day. You know, ain't had them in 10 years already. So I just fumbled through life and really screwed my life up. But God's mending that all back together. I don't know what else. I just found a new life with Christ, and I get to walk around and talk about Jesus. Sometimes I go up to total strangers and just, if God tells me to talk to him, I talk to him. Like, there is freedom. But it's not about religion. It's about a relationship. One of my favorite verses is Proverbs 3:5-6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. I just try to do that every day. And wake up and ask him what he's got for me today. The Bible tells us not to worry about tomorrow, because today has its own worries of itself, and that's true. If I worry about tomorrow, then I become overwhelmed with things and can't think about yesterday because it's already gone. But what can I do today? But I mean, that's really about all I got. I graduate the Indiana Dream Center at, 2 weeks?
Yes, sir.
Wow. 2 weeks. Been there a year. Again, with this knucklehead.
That's great.
But, I got my own house.
Yes, now you're good.
I forget about this. I haven't had my own place since 2008. I was either living at my mom's or Indiana Department of Corrections. It's cool. Like, my daughters are going to come live with me. I don't have to worry about that no more. Like, I just wake up and praise God, you know, get into a morning devotion, just, you got to renew your mind every day.
Amen.
There's another verse. Hold on. I'll find it. I just read it the other day. It's in Galatians. I think I read it yesterday. And it really hit me hard. Because it's about, you know, being saved, and man, why didn't I bring my Bible? How do you work this thing, Donnie?
Just brag on what he's done in this last year, because see, he's very humble, He's very, very new to the speaking part of it. But he completed 9 Bible college courses in that year. He completed IOP for most of us in the system, intensive outpatient. He contributed substantially to the physical improvements of our Dream Center house. Him and Josh and Daniel, dude, that place was, it needed. He serves in various roles at the Awakening Church, not just as the parking lot guy, but he's the guy that'll help tear down with the rest of the guys and stuff. They're a great team. He served at our golf outing, Steps for Success, a roadblock where like they have the fireman boots, you know, and say give money for our house.
Yeah.
He did that. He did that well. He gave his testimony at Breaking Free. He does serve with us as the Misfits, our homeless thing. He reestablished his relationship with his children, and this is really cool. His daughter was like ready to drop a baby 3 days after he came into the house. And he's like, man, I don't know. And I'm like, get your butt in the van. You're going up there. And he was able to be in the delivery room with his daughter to have that baby.
That's pretty cool. Well, you know more about me than I do.
I got you down, homie.
Lord have mercy.
They all just think I'm an old dude, just the knucklehead. I got him written up. I'll never change. Strengthened his relationship with not only his children, but with his mom and dad. He gained full-time employment with Range Solutions over there.
Yes.
Definitely his right-hand man. I mean, if that dude goes somewhere, this dude can run his company. Praise God. He obtained a godly mentor, Tim Clark, a very good guy. Got in a serious relationship, you ready? With a godly woman.
Yes.
A godly woman, dude, and they're keeping it real. His legal problems are almost totally resolved. Some of the things that he didn't mention is that the night they called me and said, dude's getting ready to Happy Feet, I cruised over there, snow, everything out. Dude's eating candy so he can run. I'm like, no, no, bro.
I'm a rabbit.
Slapped his hand. Leave that candy alone. But see, with the integrity that we have built with our court systems, with faith-based, with Marvin and these guys, I made some phone calls to parole departments and parole officers and probation and judges. And they're like, he's in your house? And I'm like, no, he's in God's house, but I got, you know, I'm there with him. This dude goes in and doesn't even look like he's coming out. Next thing, he's sitting there, knuckleheads waiting for him out there.
Yeah.
Come on, son, you know. But that's God's integrity. So what you tell in these court systems and stuff, are you really living it?
Yeah. Walk it out.
Really living it. He's working toward getting a valid driver's license after being a habitual offender.
Wow.
He's working toward that.
Two times.
He walks his relationship out with God as good or better than anyone in our house. These guys are leaders. We're creating men of integrity. I tell them 5 things in that house: your character, your competency, your call, your integrity, and respect. If you can learn those 5 things, you're a man that anybody will want to say, hey, I want to walk alongside of these guys. So he's a humble gentleman. What he's got right here, right now, I cannot even fathom where he's going to be when he steps into the next layer of life with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
So you can finish your little thing. But
he was running a Bible study in jail.
Yes. Yes.
Oh, yeah.
He was in there. People are calling me from the courts and going, hey, he needs to say. He's that Paul dude in the jail. I'm like, well, he might want to come home. Well, you know, that was great.
That's great.
It's nothing. That's all God, man.
Yeah.
But this is Galatians 2, verse 18. It says, for if I build again those things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. And I read that, and it's like, you know, I'm getting ready to leave this house and lose all, not all the accountability, because it's all around me. It's the people that God's placed in my path, and I don't have friends no more. I have a family, but even if I think about yesterday, I'm transgressing. Like, if I dwell in the past and of what I was and who I used to be, and I'm not that dude no more. But I don't. I just don't want to transgress, that's for sure.
Amen.
But thank y'all.
Amen.